This is disc number 7.
Richard didn't know what to do to find Kalen. All he knew for sure was that he had to get help. He didn't know if that help would be forthcoming, but he fully intended to do whatever was necessary to make sure he got it. After a time, he made his way back to the inn. Jamila was at the bottom of the stairs, sweeping up dust and bits of plaster. She eyed him as he walked in.
"You must pay for this."
"What do you mean?" With the handle of her broom, she pointed up the stairs.
"The damage. I have seen the place up there. You must pay for fixing it."
Richard was taken aback. "But I didn't do it."
"It is your fault."
"My fault? I was in my room. I didn't cause the damage, and I don't know what did."
"You and the woman were the only two in rooms up there. The rooms were fine when you took them. Now they are a mess. It will cost a lot to fix them. I didn't cause the damage. Why should I have to pay? The damage is your fault, so you must pay, including for the loss of rent while they are being repaired."
She had demanded he pay for fixing the rooms without first asking how Kara was, or even expressing concern for her. "I will give Ishak my permission to deduct the cost from what he owes me." Richard glared at the woman. "Now, if you will excuse me." With the back of his hand, he pushed her aside as he stepped past her into the dark hall. She huffed at him before turning back to her sweeping. Not knowing where else to go, he paced slowly up and down the hall. Jamila finally finished collecting the debris from the first floor and trundled off to other business as he continued to pace. He finally sat with his back against the wall opposite the door to Nikki's room. He didn't know what else to do, where else to go. He wanted to see Kara. Richard drew his knees up and locked his fingers over them. He rested his chin on the back of his hands as he thought about what Jamila had said. In a way, she was right. The thing had been coming for him. Had he not been there, it wouldn't have happened. If anyone else had been hurt or killed, he would really be to blame for bringing danger near them. If not for him, Kara wouldn't be hurt. He cautioned himself to put the blame on the guilty. That was Jigang and those working toward his goals. It was Jigang who had ordered the creation of the beast that was coming after Richard. Kara had simply been in the way. Kara had been trying to protect him from what Jigang and the Sisters of the Dark had created. As Richard thought about Victor's men who had been killed a few days back, probably by that same beast, he couldn't help but to feel the awful weight of guilt. And yet, the thing that had come into the inn had not harmed him. Richard had no doubt that it would have, but then it had simply vanished before its sinister work was finished. He couldn't imagine why it would do such a thing, or why it had come through the walls the way it had. After all, if it went out the window, why didn't it just break in through the window in the first place? Whatever it was had demonstrated awareness by heading right for his room. Had it come in the window, it would likely have had him before he knew what was happening. The thing that had killed Victor's men had behaved differently. Kara had not been ripped to shreds in the way they had, although it was clear that she had been seriously hurt. He began to question that it really had been the same creature that had killed Victor's men. What if Jigang had created more than one beast, more than one weapon to come after him? What if the Sisters of the Dark had spawned an army of creatures to hunt him? All the questions seemed to swirl around in his mind, unable to form into answers. Richard jumped when Nikki shook his shoulder. He realized that he must have fallen asleep.
"What?"
he asked, rubbing his eyes. "What time is it? How long has it been?"
"It's been a few hours," Nikki said in a quiet, tired voice. "It's the middle of the night."
Richard rose expectantly to his feet. "Kara's all right then? You healed her?" Nikki stared at him for what seemed an eternity. It fell to Richard as he looked into Nikki's timeless eyes, as if his heart were coming up in his throat.
"Richard,"
she finally said in a voice so soft and compassionate that it made his breathing stop,
"Kara isn't going to make it." Richard blinked at the words, trying to be certain that he understood what Nicky was really saying.
I don't understand, he cleared his throat. What do you mean?
Nicky gently laid a hand on his arm.
I think you should come in and see her while she is still with us.
Richard seized her shoulders.
What are you talking about?
Richard. Nikki's gaze sank to the floor.
Kara isn't going to make it. She is dying. She won't live the night.
Richard tried to retreat from the sorceress, but his back met the wall.
From what? What's wrong with her?
I don't know exactly. She's been touched by something that has brought death into her. I don't know how to explain it because I don't really know exactly what she is dying from. All I know is that it has overwhelmed her body's defenses, and moment by moment, she is slipping away.
But Kara is strong. She'll fight it. She'll make it.
Nicky was shaking her head.
No, Richard, she won't. I don't want to give you false hope. She is dying. I think she may even want to die.
Richard came forward off the wall.
What? That's crazy. She has no reason to want to die.
You can't say that, Richard. You don't know what she is going through. You don't know her reasons. Maybe the suffering is too much for her. Maybe she can't endure the pain and she only wants it to end.
If not for herself, Kara would do anything to stay alive in order to protect me.
Nicky licked her lips as she gave his arm a reassuring squeeze.
Maybe you're right, Richard.
Richard didn't like being humored. He looked from the door back to the sorceress.
Nicky, you can save her. You know how to do such things.
Look, you had better come see her before.
You have to do something. You have to.
Nicky hugged her arms around herself. She looked away, her eyes brimming with tears.
I swear, Richard, I tried everything I knew or could think of. Nothing was of any help. Death already has her spirit, and I can no longer reach that far. She is breathing, but barely. Her heart is weak and nearly gone. Her whole body is shutting down as she slips away. I'm not even sure that she is really even still alive in the sense we think of as a person being alive. She is only here by a thread, and that thread will not hold for long.
But can't...
He could think of no words to hold back the weight of grief beginning to slide in on him.
Please, Richard, Nicky whispered, come see her before she is gone. Say what you would to her while you have the chance. You will forever hate yourself if you don't.
Richard felt numb as Nicky led him into the room. This couldn't be happening. It just couldn't.
This was Kara. Kara was like the sun. She couldn't die. She was
his friend. She couldn't die.
Chapter 18. The feeble glow of two lanterns failed to do much to brighten the murky room. The smaller one sat on a table in the corner, as if cowering in the presence of death itself. The other stood on a bedside table beside a glass of water and a damp cloth, struggling to hold the gathered shadows at bay. A brocade bed cover with luxuriant gold fringe was draped over Kara, her arm limp atop it, one of its corners hanging down over the side of the bed to puddle on the floor. Kara didn't look like Kara. She looked cadaverous. Even in the golden light of the lamp, her face looked ashen. Richard didn't see her breathing. He could hardly draw a breath himself. He could feel his knees trembling. The lump in his throat seemed as if it might choke him. He wanted to fall on her and beg her to wake. Nicky leaned close, gently touching Kara's face. Her fingers slid down to the side of her neck. Richard noticed that Kara's terrible shuddering had finally ceased. He didn't think that was the good news it might appear to be.
Is she...
Nicky looked back over her shoulder.
She's still breathing, but I'm afraid it's coming slower.
Richard worked his tongue, wetting the roof of his mouth so that he could form words. You know, Kara has a man she cares about.
She does, really?
Richard nodded. Most people don't think that Mord Sith can ever really care about anyone, but they can. Kara cares about a soldier, General Myford. Benjamin cares for her, too.
You know him?
Yes. He's a good man. Richard stared at the blonde braid lying over Kara's shoulder and out over the brocade bed cover. I haven't seen him for ages. He's with the Daharan army.
Nikki looked skeptical. And Kara admitted to you that she cares about this man?
Richard shook his head as he stared at Kara's familiar face. Her beautiful face was now sunken and pale and only looked like a ghost of her former self. No, Kalin told me. The two of them became pretty close over the course of the year they were with the Daharan army, while you had me down here in Alterang. Nikki looked away and fussed with the covers over Kara. As Richard stepped closer, Nikki moved over to a chair beside the table to be out of his way. He felt as if he were outside of his own body, watching from somewhere above, watching himself go to one knee, watching himself take up Kara's cold hand, watching himself hold it to his cheek.
"Dear spirits, don't do this to her," he whispered. "Please," he added with a choking sob. "Don't take her."
He looked over at Nikki.
"She wanted to die as a Mord Sith, fighting for our cause, not in bed."
Nikki offered the smallest of smiles.
"She had her wish."
The words, making it sound as if Kara was already dead, hit him like a blow. He couldn't allow this to happen. He just couldn't. Kalin was gone, and now this. He just couldn't let it happen. He cupped a hand to Kara's icy face. It felt like touching the dead. Richard swallowed back the tears.
"Nikki, you're a sorceress. You saved me when I was near death. No one else but you would have ever been able to come up with a solution. No one but you could have saved me. Isn't there anything at all that you can think of to do for Kara?"
Nikki slipped forward off the chair to kneel beside him. She took up his hand and held it to her lips. He felt a tear fall onto the back of the hand she so tenderly held, as if she were a humble subject beseeching her king's forgiveness.
"I'm so sorry, Richard, but there isn't. I hope you know that I would do anything it took if I could save her, but I can't. This is beyond my ability. A time comes when we all have to die. Her time has come, and I can't change it."
Richard blinked at the watery sight of the death scene. The room barely lit by the weak light of two small flames. The bed holding Kara seemed to float by itself in that light, with darkness waiting all around her. He nodded.
"Nikki, please, could you leave me alone with her? I want to be alone with her when the time comes that..." "It's nothing against you. It's just that I think I should be alone with her."
"I understand, Richard."
Nikki's fingers touched his back as she stood, and then, as if reluctant to break that contact with the living, trailed along his shoulder as she moved past.
"I'll be close by if you need me,"
she said as her living touch ended.
The door softly shut behind her, leaving the room in silence.
Even though the heavy drapes were closed over the window, Richard could hear the ceaseless chorus of the cicadas outside. He could no longer hold back the tears. He laid his head on Kara's middle as he sobbed, clutching her limp hand.
"Kara, I'm so sorry. It's my fault. It was after me, not you. I'm so sorry. Please, Kara, don't leave me. I need you so much."
Kara was the only one who followed him, because she believed in him. She might have agreed with Nikki that he was dreaming up Kalin, but she still believed in him. With Kara, that wasn't a contradiction. More and more lately, it seemed that her faith in him was all that was holding him together and keeping him focused on what he had to do. There were frightening moments when he no longer knew if he believed in himself. It was so hard to face an entire world that thought he was delusional. It was so hard to do what he believed in when almost no one believed in him. But Kara believed in him,
even if she didn't believe in Kalen's existence. There was something unique about that sentiment, something unlike even Nikki or Victor's respect for him. He held Kara's face in both hands as he kissed her forehead. He hoped she wasn't suffering. He hoped it was a peaceful end to a life that had been anything but peaceful. She was so pale, her breathing so shallow. Her flesh felt as cold as death. Hating that she was so cold, Richard pulled the bed cover aside as he leaned over and slipped his arms around her, hoping that his warmth would help her. "Take my warmth," he whispered in her ear. "Take all you need. Please, Kara, take warmth from me." Lying there holding her, Richard descended into a fog of agony. He knew how much this woman had suffered. He knew what her life had been like. He knew how much she had been hurt. He had endured some of the things she had endured under the mad rule of his father, Darken Rall. He had suffered some of the same pain and hopelessness. Perhaps more than anyone else, he could truly empathize with her. He knew how strangers had taken her into a world of pain and madness. Richard knew because he had been there too. He had so wanted to bring her back from that dark and terrible place. "Take my warmth, Kara. I'm here for you." He opened himself to her, opened his need to her, opened himself to her need. He clutched her tightly in his arms as he wept against her shoulder. He almost felt that if he were to hold her tight enough, she couldn't slip away into death. Richard could feel as he held her in his arms that she was still alive, and he couldn't bear for that to end. He wished so much that Nikki could have done something. If anyone deserved to be healed, it was Kara. At that moment, more than anything, he wanted her to be healed. Richard opened himself, his very soul, to that purpose. He released himself into his empathy for this woman who had given him so much. More than once, she had risked her life to follow his orders. She had often risked her life for him in open defiance of his orders. She had followed him across the world. Countless times she had placed herself between danger and his and Kalen's lives. Kara deserved life, deserved all the goodness in life. He wanted nothing but to make her whole again. He gave all of himself over to that desire. He held back nothing in his focused need to have Kara stay among the living. To that end, to that desperate desire, he consciously sought the life within her as he descended into the swirling current of her agony. As fast as that thought, he found his mind with hers, with her agonizing pain. He held her tight in his arms as he wept with her desolate suffering. He gritted his teeth, held his breath, and pulled her pain into himself. He wanted nothing more than to draw that pain away from her. He spared nothing to protect himself from the onslaught that suddenly inundated him. He felt everything she felt. He suffered everything she suffered. He pressed his open mouth against her shoulder, muffling his scream as the pain lanced through him. They were in an empty, dark, and hopeless place, a lifeless place. He shook with her suffering as he lifted some of her burden. She held tight to the pain, loath to release it, especially to him. But as weak as she was, he was able to draw it anyway, and then he drew yet more. Lifting and uncovering the layers of suffering, he felt the icy touch of death within her. The raw fear at such an encounter was as arresting as anything he had ever confronted. Kara was saturated in that dark and icy sensation. He shook with the suffering he shared with her, with the dread they felt together. His mind twisted with the wrenching pain until it was a terrible and seemingly insurmountable struggle just to maintain his own will to go on. Richard was swept into a coursing, cold current of hopeless misery that consumed him. It seemed more than he could bear, and yet he endured it and took on more. He wanted her to take on his strength, his living warmth. But to do that, he would first have to survive pulling that dark poison into himself, while at the same time giving over to her his strength. Time lost all meaning. The pain itself was the embodiment of forever.
Death will come often offering to take you, wanting to take you,
he whispered against her ear.
Don't accept the offer, Kara. Stay. Don't accept death.
I want to die.
That single thought came spiraling up through the agonizing desolation. It shocked and terrified him. What if trying to hold on to life was more than she could endure? What if it was more than he could endure? What if he was asking more of her than she could abide? More than he had had a right to ask?
Kara, he whispered into her ear, I need you to live, please, I need you to live.
I can't.
Kara, you are not alone. I'm here with you. Hold on. For me, hold on, and let me help you.
Please, let me go. Let me die. I'm begging you. If you care for me, then leave me. Let me die.
She began to slip away. He clutched her tighter. He pulled more of her suffering into himself. Her inner self wailed in agony as she fought him.
Kara, please,
he gasped against the torrent of pain flooding through him.
Let me help you. Please don't leave me.
I don't want to live. I have failed you. I should have saved you when Nikki came to capture you. I know that now. You made me see it. I would die for you, but I failed in my duty, in my promises to myself. There is no reason for me to live. I am not worthy to be your protector. Please let me go.
Richard was stunned to grasp the despair in her longing, but more than that, he was horrified by it. He gathered that pain, too, and lifted it from her. He took it even as she tried to hold on to it, to slip away from him.
Kara, I love you. Please don't leave me. I need you.
He fought to draw more of her agony into himself. He overpowered her resistance and took more yet. She was unable to stop him. He lifted the ashen robes of death, dragging her down. Richard held her tight in his arms as he opened his heart, his need, his soul. She wailed in heartbreak. He understood the crushing loneliness.
I'm with you, Kara. You aren't alone.
Richard soothed her even as he struggled to endure the stunning agony of the evil that had touched her. It was not simply the pain of it, but the bleak horror of it that was killing her. And now that same cold desolation was slowly crushing him, and at the same time her blinding suffering blocked his healing power from flowing into her. He suddenly felt as if he had swum out to save a drowning person, and now they were both caught up in the same savage torrent. And they were both drowning together in the black waters of death. If he was to have a chance, if she was, he first had to lift enough of her suffering. He had to hold the weight of it from her. He pulled the pain onward, heedless of it, welcoming it, drawing it with all his might. When he felt that full weight of misery and anguish gathered into the core of himself, he had to struggle mightily to hold on to his own life at the same time as he let flow his power, his healing strength, his healing heart. Richard had never been taught how to heal, how to direct his power. He could only let the warmth of it flow into her.
I don't want to live. I have failed you. Please let me die.
Why do you want to leave me? Why?
Because only in that way can I serve you. Because then you can have another who will not fail you.
Kara, that isn't true. Something is wrong, something neither of us understands.
Through the pain, Richard fought to get the words out.
You didn't fail me. You have to believe me. You must believe in me. That is what I need more than anything, for you to be with me and believe in me. It is you I need, not your service. Please, I need you. I need you to live. That is the service. Your life makes mine better.
He fought with all his might to hold on, to hold Kara with him, but the weight of the darkness within seemed bottomless. As the barriers of his restraint collapsed, he felt as if he were plunging into a molten void.
spiraling ever downward into that dark shadow that had come through the wall for him. He saw flashes of it, as she had seen it, saw the heart-stopping terror of it crashing in on her. That was the core of her dread, that vile thing, that death incarnate, coming for him right through her. This was not the gentle dissolution of consciousness into the void of non-existence. This was every nightmare come to life, come to rip the life out of the living. This was dark death descending upon her, all alone and defenseless, that merciless reaper of souls come to rip hers out while she screamed her life away. As she'd stood before it, blocking its way, she had taken its deadly touch. He understood then that Kara felt she had failed him before with Nikki, and this time she had been determined to die to prove her oath. Madness still dwelt within her. She believed that death falling in upon her would be her redemption in his eyes, and so she refused to shrink before it. She wanted to die for him to prove herself to him. As it had come through the wall and through her room, Kara had tried to steal the power from death itself. Richard felt that torturous touch envelop him in its all-consuming agony. It was a touch so cold it began to freeze his heart. The world began slipping away from him, as it had begun to slip away from her. He was lost in the crushing pain of that deadly touch. Chapter 19. It felt to Richard as if he were trapped beneath the ice in the swift raven waters of a frozen river. The shadow of panic swirled ever closer around him. He was exhausted and didn't have any reserve of strength left. As the specter of failure loomed, and the full realization of what such a failure would mean came to him, he rallied his will and exerted greater effort to fight his way toward the remote light of consciousness. Even though he was aware that he had managed to come partially awake, he was still in some distant, deep place and having difficulty completing the journey. He struggled to rise up, struggled for the life above, but he couldn't break through. Even as Richard tried to press himself harder, it seemed too difficult, too far. For the first time, he considered the peace of surrender, truly considered it, as had she before it had dragged her under. The deadly fangs of failure hovered closer. Driven by the fright of the full realization of everything that such a defeat would mean, he drew together his strength, focused his will, and with desperate passion reached toward the world of life. With a gasp, his eyes opened. The pain had been crushing. He felt dizzy and sick from the encounter with such malevolence. He still trembled with the power of it. After such raw inner violence, he feared that every hammer beat of his heart might be the last. The slick touch of depravity had bequeathed him a repugnant memory of the gagging stench of rotting corpses, making it nearly impossible to draw the full breath he needed. He had reached into Kara's soul, and he had felt an alien evil lurking there within her, sucking the life from her, pulling her into the dark eternity of death. It had been a debilitating dread beyond anything he had ever felt before, beyond the mere fear of the black abyss of eternity. It had been the grinning, naked vow of unimaginable terrors that were coming for him. At first it had seemed that he had touched the icy face of death itself, but now he knew that he hadn't. Despite his revulsion, he knew that it was something other than simply death. Death was merely a part of its poisonous architecture. Death was inanimate. This was not. He hurt so much that he was unsure at that moment if he would have the strength to ever stand again, the strength required to live. His bones ached. The marrow of his bones ached. He couldn't seem to stop trembling. Yet the pain was more than mere physical agony. It was an abhorrent misery that had seeped through his soul and touched every aspect of his existence. The quiet room at last began to float into focus around him. The lamps still held back the veil of darkness. Beyond the heavy drapes, the cicadas still sang their song of life. Lying on the bed, still embracing Kara protectively in his arms, Richard was at last able to draw the full breath he so desperately needed. As he did, he relished the fragrance of her hair, savored the scent of the warm, moist skin along the curve of her neck, and in so doing the agony began to recede. He felt Kara's arms tightly embracing him. Downy's soft hair behind her ear caressed the side of his face.
"Kara?" he whispered.
She reached up and ran a hand tenderly down the back of his head as she unashamedly held him against her.
"Shh,"
she soothed in his ear.
"It's all right."
He was having trouble making sense of things. He was somewhat disoriented to find himself holding Kara in his arms, to find her holding him so tenderly in hers, to realize they were locked in such an intimate embrace. He could feel the entire length of her pressed against him, but then nothing could be more intimate than what they had shared in that dark place as they together faced the evil that had taken her. He ran his tongue across his cracked lips and tasted salty tears.
"Kara?"
She nodded against the side of his face.
"Shh,"
she soothed again.
"It's all right. I'm with you. I won't leave you."
He drew away just enough to look into her eyes. They were blue and clear, revealing a depth he had never seen before. She studied his face with a kind of caring, knowing sympathy. At that moment, he clearly saw in her eyes that this was Kara, and no more. In that moment, he saw that the appellation of Mord Sith had been stripped away down to her soul. In that moment, it was Kara, the woman, the individual, and nothing else. It was as revealing and profound a view of her as he had ever had. It was startlingly beautiful.
"You are a very rare person, Richard Rawl."
The soft breath of her words against his face soothed some of the lingering pain as seductively as did her arms, as did her eyes, as did her words, as did the living, breathing warmth of her. Even so, the agony he had lifted from her still coursed through him, seeking to pull him back toward darkness and death. Somewhere in the back of his mind, he fought it with his love of life and with his joy that Kara was alive.
"I am a wizard," he whispered back.
She stared up into his eyes as she slowly shook her head in wonder.
"There has never been a Lord Rawl like you before. I swear there never has."
With her arms around his neck, she pulled his head closer and kissed him on the cheek.
"Thank you, Lord Rawl, for bringing me back. Thank you for saving me. You made me see again that I want to live. It is I who is supposed to be protecting your life, and you are the one to risk yours to save me."
She again searched his eyes with leisurely satisfaction. It was completely unlike the way a Mord Sith had of gazing through a person, of seeing all the way into their soul. This was an emotion of regard born of her appreciation for his value to her. In the purest sense, it was love. She showed absolutely no reticence in him seeing her feelings laid bare. He supposed that, after what they had just shared, any such modesty would be pointless. He knew, though, that this was more, that this was Kara, sincere, unafraid, and unashamed.
"There has never been a Lord Rawl like you."
"Kara, you don't know how glad I am to have you back with me." She held his head in both her hands and kissed his forehead.
"Oh, but I do know. I know what you suffered for me this night. I know very well how much you wanted me back. I know very well what you did for me."
She slipped her arms around his neck again and hugged him tight.
"I have never been afraid like that, not even when I was first..."
He touched his fingers to her lips to silence what she had been about to say, for fear that it would break the spell, that it would too soon bring the armor of Mord Sith back into her beautiful blue eyes. He knew what she had been about to say. He knew that madness.
"Thank you, Lord Rawl,"
she whispered in wonder when he took his fingers away.
"Thank you for everything.
and for not letting me say what I had been about to say. With a twitch of her brow, pain ghosted across her face. That is why there has never been a Lord Rawl like you before. They all created Mord Sith. They all brought the pain. You ended it.
Richard couldn't force any words past the lump in his throat, so he simply brushed her blonde hair from her forehead and smiled at her. He was so happy to have her back that he couldn't put it into words. He gazed around the room then, trying to judge how late it was.
I don't know how long it took you to heal me, she said as she watched him surveying the curtains for any sign of the approach of dawn. But after you did, you were so exhausted that you seemed to collapse into sleep. I couldn't wake you. I didn't want to wake you.
Her arms still loosely around his neck, she gazed up at him with a blissful smile, looking as if she never wanted to move.
I was so weak that I fell asleep as well.
Kara, we have to get out of here.
What do you mean?
Richard pushed himself up, the urgency of the situation becoming all too clear. His head spun sickeningly. I used magic to heal you. She nodded, looking uncharacteristically content at the mention of magic and her in the same breath. This had been magic that had shown her the wonder of life. What he was getting at abruptly became clear to her. She sat up in a rush, but had to put a hand back to steady herself. Richard stood on trembling legs. He realized then that he was still wearing his sword. He was glad to have it at hand. If Jagang's beast is around, then it might have sensed that I used my gift. I don't know where it might be, but I'd not like to be lying here when it returns.
Nor would I. Once was enough for a lifetime.
He held out an arm and helped her stand. She balanced in a stiff posture for a moment before gathering her senses and loosening her pose. It somehow seemed startling to him to see that she was dressed in her red leather. After having been so close to her, after having been within her, in a sense, clothes somehow seemed alien. In some inexplicable manner, Kara drew the aura of Mord Sith around herself. She smiled, the composed confidence in that smile lifting his heart.
I'm all right, she said, as if to tell him to stop worrying. I'm back with you.
The steel was back in her eyes. Kara was indeed back. Richard nodded. Me too. I'm feeling better now that I'm waking up. He gestured to her pack. Let's get our things and get moving. Chapter 20. Nikki stood at the edge of the hill, hands clasped, gazing across the grounds at the white marble statue lit by torches. The people of Alter Rang had thought that such a noble figure, a symbol of liberty for them, should never go dark, and so it was always lit. Nikki had slowly paced the gloomy hall in the inn for much of the night, dispirited about the life slipping away on the other side of the door. She had tried everything she knew to save Kara, but it had been hopeless. Nikki didn't know Kara all that well, but she certainly knew Richard. She probably knew him better than anyone alive, except perhaps his grandfather Zed. She didn't know his past so well, the stories about his childhood or that sort of thing. She knew Richard the man. She knew him down to the core of his soul. There was no one alive she knew better. She understood the depth of his grief at losing Kara. Throughout the vigil, Nikki's gift, unbidden, had brought her the sounds of some of that open misery. It broke Nikki's heart to have Richard suffer such a loss. She would have done anything to have spared him that. At one point she had thought to go in and comfort Richard's grief, to ease some of it by sparing him at least a bit of the loneliness of it. The door would not open. While it was puzzling, what she could sense told her that there were only two people inside, and what she could hear told her that there was nothing more than simple sorrow on the other side, so she hadn't tried to force open the stuck door. Unable to bear the pain of listening to Richard's supplications to Kara as she lay dying, Nikki had eventually gone outside, finally ending up staring out across the black chasm of night to the statue he had created. Other than being with Richard himself, There were few things Nicky would rather do than gaze at the majestic things he had created. Sometimes the death of someone close had a way of making people see the world in a new light, a way of making them come back to those things that were most important in life. She wondered what Richard would do once Kara passed away, if it would jolt him back to reality and he would finally abandon the search for phantoms and stand with the people who wanted to be free of the Imperial Order. Hearing footsteps and then her name called, Nicky turned. It was Richard, with someone else, approaching through the shadows. Nicky's heart sank. That could only mean that Kara's ordeal had finally ended. As Richard came closer, Nicky saw who was with him.
"Dear spirits, Richard," she whispered, her eyes going wide. "What have you done?"
In the dim light of the distant torches, Kara looked perfectly alive and well. "Lord Rawl healed me," she said offhandedly, as if such an accomplishment had been a minor task of no more note than if he had helped her to fetch water. Nicky stared in shock.
"How?"
was all she could say. Richard looked as weary as if he had been through a battle. She half expected to see him covered in blood.
"I couldn't stand the thought of not doing something to try to help her," he said.
"I suppose that need was strong enough so that I was able to somehow do what I needed to do in order to heal her." The meaning of why that door wouldn't open suddenly became all too clear. He had indeed been through a battle, and he was, in a sense, covered with blood. Just not the kind one could see. Nicky leaned toward him.
"You used your gift."
It was a charge, not a question. Nonetheless, he answered it.
"I guess so." "You guess so."
Nicky wished she could make herself not sound like she was mocking him.
"I tried everything I knew. Nothing I did was able to reach her. I couldn't heal her. What did you do? And how did you manage to touch your Han?"
Richard shrugged self-consciously.
"I'm not exactly sure of it all. I held her, and I could feel that she was dying. I could feel her slipping farther and farther away. I kind of let myself, my mind, sink down into her, down into the core of who she is, down to where she needed the help. Once I reached that place of union with her, I collected her pain into myself so that she would have enough strength to take the warmth of life I offered her."
Nicky understood very well the elaborate phenomenon he was describing, but she was astounded to hear it explained in such incidental terms. It was as if she had asked him how he carved such a lifelike statue in marble, and he had said of his masterwork that he had just cut off all the stone that didn't belong. While accurate, such an explanation was casual to the point of absurdity.
"You took upon yourself what was killing her?"
"I had to." Nicky pressed her fingers to her temples. Even she, with all the power she had at her disposal, and she had considerable power, to say nothing of her training, experience, and knowledge, could not undertake such a deed. She had to make an effort to slow her hammering heart.
"Do you have any idea at all of the danger involved in such an endeavor?"
Richard looked a little ill at ease by the heated tone of her questions. "It was the only way, Nicky," he said in simple summary.
"It was the only way,"
she repeated in astonishment. She could not believe what she was hearing.
"Do you have any idea how much power it takes to embark on such a voyage of the soul, much less to ever come back from such a place, or the peril in going there?"
He stuck his hands in his pockets as if he were a child being upbraided for misbehaving. "All I know is that it was the only way to get Kara back."
"And he did," Kara said, pointing a finger at Nicky not only for emphasis, but to stress her defense of him. "Lord Rawl came for me."
Nicky stared at the moored Sith.
"Richard went to the brink of the world of the dead for you, and perhaps beyond."
Kara stole a glance at Richard.
"He did?"
Nicky slowly nodded.
"Your spirit had already slipped into a twilight realm. You were beyond my reach.
That was why I could not heal you.
Well, Lord Rawl did it.
Yes, he did.
Nicky reached out and with a finger lifted Kara's chin.
I hope that as long as you live you never forget what this man has just done for you. I doubt there is anyone living who could have, who would have attempted such a thing.
He had to.
Kara gave Nicky a brazen smile. Lord Rawl can't get along without me, and he knows it.
Richard turned aside as he smiled to himself.
Nicky could hardly believe such a casual attitude after such a monumental event. She took a breath in an attempt to control her voice and not give the wrong impression, an impression that she was displeased that he had healed Kara.
You used your gift, Richard. The beast is already about, and you used your gift.
I had to, or we would have lost her.
To Richard, it all seemed so simple and straightforward. At least he had the sense not to look as self-satisfied as Kara.
Nicky planted her fists on her hips as she leaned closer to him.
Don't you comprehend what you've done? You used your gift again. I warned you before that you must not do so. The beast is already somewhere close, and by using your gift, you just told it right where you are.
What did you expect me to do, let Kara die?
Yes! She is sworn to protect you with her life. That is her job, her sworn duty, not helping you to bring the beast closer to you. We could easily have lost you in such an attempt, to say nothing of the profound menace you have just awakened. You risked all you mean to the people of Dahara and your value to our cause just to save one person. You should have let her go. In saving her, you have only allowed her to bring death to both of you, because the beast will now be able to find you. What just happened will now happen again, only this time there will be no escape. You have just saved Kara's life at the price of your own and no doubt hers in the bargain.
Even as she spoke, Nicky knew by the smoldering anger in his eyes that she was not doing a good job of making him see what she meant.
Kara's eyes, on the other hand, revealed sudden alarm, verging on panic.
Richard placed a hand on the back of her neck and gave it a reassuring squeeze, as if to tell her to ignore such a supposition.
That's not certain, Nicky.
The muscles in his jaw flexed as he gritted his teeth. It may be a possibility, but it's not certain, and besides, I wasn't going to let someone I care about die just because it might make me a little safer. I'm already hunted. Letting Kara die wouldn't have changed that.
Nicky let her hands flop down against her thighs. He was in no mood to hear anyone speak against saving the life of a woman he cared deeply for. Nicky had no idea how she could explain it to him in a way that could make him understand the magnitude of the forces he had invoked, or the grave danger he had unleashed. How could she say anything and not have him misunderstand her meaning? In the end, she knew she couldn't.
Nicky placed a hand on his shoulder.
I guess I can't blame you, Richard. I guess that in your place I would have done the same. Someday, when we have the luxury of time, we will have to talk about this. When we are able, I would like you to tell me everything you did. Maybe I can help you learn to better control what you alone were able to harness. If nothing else, maybe I can at least make things you do spontaneously a little more focused and a little less dangerous.
Richard nodded his appreciation, whether of her offer or her softer tone, she wasn't sure. Nicky could see in Richard and Kara's eyes that the experience had brought the two of them closer. When she realized that he would soon be leaving, Nicky's brief bout of joy at seeing Kara alive and well faded.
Besides, Richard said as he scanned the darkness, we don't even know if this had anything to do with the thing back in the woods.
Well, of course it did, Nicky said.
His gaze returned to her. How do you know? That thing tore all those men apart. This was a different kind of attack. For that matter, we don't even know for certain that either attack was the beast that Jigang ordered to be created.
What are you talking about? What else could it be? It has to be the weapon that Jigang directed the sister to conjure.
I'm not saying that it isn't. It very well could be. But a lot of it doesn't make any sense to me.
Like what?
Richard raked his fingers back through his hair. The thing in the forest attacked the men. It didn't attack me, even though I wasn't far away. Here, it didn't bother to tear Kara apart like it did the men. If it was the same thing, then we know it could have easily killed me. So when it was right here and had the chance, why didn't it use the opportunity?
Maybe because I tried to capture its power, Kara offered. Maybe it just passed me by because I was a threat, or maybe I distracted it enough that it decided to flee.
Richard shook his head. You were no threat. It went right through you, and besides, its touch was enough to eliminate your interference. Then it came through the wall for me, but as it reached my room, it didn't flee. It simply disappeared.
Nikki abruptly turned suspicious. She never had heard the whole story.
You were in the room and it just vanished?
Not exactly. I jumped out the window to escape it as it came through the wall into my room. As I hung there, some kind of dark thing like a moving shadow came out the window. And as it did, it seemed to evaporate into the night.
Nikki idly drew the end of the cord of her bodice through her fingers as she considered what he'd said. She tried to fit the pieces into everything else she knew, but none of it would match. Nothing that the beast did seemed to make sense. If it really was the same beast, Richard was right in that it all seemed to defy logic.
Maybe it didn't see you, she murmured half to herself as she considered the puzzle.
Richard flashed her a skeptical expression. So you're saying that it could find me at night inside the inn, and it then crashed right through a succession of walls as it was coming for me, but then when I just barely managed to jump through the only window, it became confused and so it wandered off?
Nikki appraised his eyes a moment.
Both attacks have something important in common. They both displayed incredible power, shattering trees like they were twigs and going through walls as if they were no more than paper.
Richard sighed unhappily. I suppose that's true.
What I'd like to know, Nikki added as she folded her arms, is why it didn't kill Kara.
She caught the slight flicker in his eyes, and she knew then that he knew something more than he had said.
Nikki cocked her head as she watched him while she waited.
When I was there in Kara's mind, taking up the pain of the touch of that vile thing, there was something more that it left behind, he admitted in a quiet voice. I think it wanted to leave a message for me to find, a message that it's coming for me, that it will find me, and that for all eternity it will make my death a luxury beyond reach.
Nikki's gaze slid to Kara. I didn't choose for him to come after me, to that twilight place as you call it. I didn't ask him to, and I didn't want him to.
The Mord Sith's hands fisted at her sides. But I can't lie and say that I'd rather be dead.
Nikki couldn't help but to smile at such simple honesty.
Kara, I'm joyful that you're not dead. I truly am. What kind of man would we be following if he easily let a friend die without trying his best to save her?
Kara's expression cooled as Nikki looked again at Richard.
I'm still perplexed as to why it didn't kill Kara. After all, a message like that could have just as easily been given directly to you once it had you in its clutches. If the threat is credible, and I certainly don't doubt that it is, then the beast would have all the time it wished to make you suffer if it would have snatched you right then. Such a message serves no real purpose. What's more, it makes no sense for the beast to be right there and then vanish.
Richard drummed his fingers on the crossguard of his sword as he thought it over.
All good questions, Nikki, but I just don't have good answers.
With the palm of his left hand resting on the hilt of his sword, he scanned the darkness again, checking for any threat.
I think Kara and I had better be on our way. Considering what happened to Victor's men, I'm concerned about what will happen if that thing comes back here after me. I'd not like that kind of beast rampaging through the city in a blood frenzy. I don't want any more people to be needlessly hurt or killed. Whatever that thing is, the beast Jigang had his sisters conjure, or something we don't even know about,
It seems to me that I'll have a better chance to stay alive if I keep moving. Sitting in one place feels too much like waiting for the executioner to arrive.
I don't think that you are necessarily making logical assumptions, Nikki said.
Nonetheless, I need to be going anyway, and I'd feel better if it was sooner rather than later for a variety of reasons.
He hoisted his pack higher on his back. I have to find Victor and Ishak.
Resigned, Nikki gestured behind her.
After the attack, I went and got them. They are both over at the stables back there. Ishak has the horses you requested. Some of the men helped him gather supplies for you.
She put a hand on his arm.
Some of the relatives of Victor's men, the ones who were killed, are there too. They want to hear from you.
Richard nodded as he let out a deep breath.
I hope I can offer them some comfort. Grief is fresh in my mind.
He gave Kara a quick squeeze on her shoulder. But mine has been lifted. Richard hitched his bow higher up onto his shoulder as he started away. In little more than a blink, he dissolved into the darkness. Chapter 21. As Kara went past, following in Richard's wake, Nikki caught the Mord Sith's arm, holding her back until she could speak without Richard hearing.
How are you, Kara, really?
Kara met Nikki's direct gaze with a steady look of her own.
I'm tired, but I'm fine now. Lord Rawl made it right.
Nikki nodded her satisfaction.
Kara, may I ask you a personal question?
As long as I don't have to promise, I'll answer it.
Do you have a man for whom you care greatly named Benjamin Myford?
Even in the dim light, Nikki could see Kara's face go as scarlet as her red leather outfit.
Who told you such a thing?
Do you mean to say, then, that it's a secret and no one knows?
Well, that's not what I'm saying exactly, Kara stammered. I mean, you're trying to trip me into saying something I don't intend.
I'm not trying to trip you into saying anything, especially something that isn't true. I only asked about Benjamin Myford. Kara's brow drew tight.
Who told you such a thing?
Richard. Nikki arched an eyebrow.
Is it true?
Kara pressed her lips tight. At last she looked away from Nikki to glare off into the night.
Yes.
So you told Richard all about how you care a great deal for this soldier?
Are you crazy? I would never have told such a thing to Lord Rawl. Where could he have heard it?
For a moment, Nikki listened to the cicadas singing their incessant mating songs as she considered the Mord Sith.
Richard said that Kaelin told him all about it.
Kara stood with her mouth agape. She at last touched her fingers to her forehead as she worked to gather her senses.
Well, that's just crazy. I must have told him myself. I guess I just forgot. We talk about so much. It's hard to recall everything I told him, but now that you bring it up, I think I do recall mentioning it one night when we were both talking about such sentimental things. I think that must have been when I told him about Benjamin Myford. I guess I pushed such a personal discussion to the back of my mind. I guess he didn't. I ought to learn to keep my mouth shut.
You have no need to fear anything you tell Richard. You have no better friend in the world, and you have no need to fear me knowing such things either.
He told me about it in the depth of his grief for you because he wanted me to know that you are more than just Mord Sith, that you're a person with a life and desires of your own, and you had come to value a good man. He was honoring you by telling me. But I will keep it to myself. Your feelings are safe with me, Kara.
Kara idly tugged at strands of hair at the end of her single braid.
I guess I never looked at it quite that way. I mean about him honoring me by telling you. That's kind of nice. Love is a passion for life shared with another person. You fall in love with a person who you think is wonderful. It's your deepest appreciation of the value of that individual, and that individual is a reflection of what you value most in life. Love, for sound reasons, can be one of life's greatest rewards.
You shouldn't be ashamed or embarrassed about being in love. I mean, if you really do love Benjamin, that is.
Kara thought it over a moment. I'm not ashamed of it. I am Mord Sith.
Some of the tension went out of her shoulders. But I don't know if I'm in love with him either. I don't know for certain what I think about it. I know I care greatly for him. I'm not sure it's love, though. Maybe it's only the first step along the path to love. It's kind of hard for me to tell about such things. I'm not used to it mattering what I think or how I feel.
Nikki nodded as she began walking slowly through the shadows.
For a lot of my life, I didn't understand what love was either. Jigang used to sometimes think that he was in love with me.
Jigang? Seriously? He's in love with you?
No, he's not really in love with me. He just thinks he is. Even back then, I knew that it wasn't love, even if I didn't understand why. Jigang's measure of worth runs from hate to lust. He scorns and defiles anything that's good about life, so he couldn't possibly experience true love. He can only discern it as the faint fragrance of something tantalizing and mysterious beyond his reach, and he longs to possess it. He imagined that he could experience love by grabbing me by my hair and forcing me down on him. He interpreted his enjoyment as he watched, as feelings of love. He thought that I should be grateful that he had such powerful feelings for me, that he would be overcome with desire for me to the exclusion of everything else. Since he believed that forcing himself on me was an expression of his love, he thought I should accept it as an honor.
He would have liked Darkin Rall, Kara muttered. They would have gotten along splendidly. She looked over, suddenly puzzled. You're a sorceress. Why didn't you use your power to incinerate the bastard?
Nikki let out a deep breath. How could she simply explain a lifetime of indoctrination? I don't think that a day goes by that I don't wish I would have killed that vile man. But brought up as I was under the teachings of the Fellowship of Order, the same as he, I believed that moral virtue was only realized through self-sacrifice. Under their tenets, your duty is to those in need. Such dictates are imposed under the banner of the common good or the betterment of mankind, or dutiful obedience to the Creator. By the ideology of the Order, we were to devote ourselves not to those we regarded as the best among mankind, but to those who we ourselves regarded as the worst among men, not because they had earned it, but precisely because they hadn't. This, the Order claims, is the heart of morality, and the only means by which we earn our entry into the everlasting light of the Creator in the afterlife. It's the sacrifice of the virtuous into servitude to the vile. It is never done under the banner of what it really is, naked greed for the unearned. Jigang's worldly needs revolved around his crotch. I had what he believed he needed, so I was morally required to sacrifice myself to his need, especially since he is the leader bringing the Order's moral teachings to the heathens of the world. When Jigang would beat me until I was only half conscious and then throw me on his bed to have his way with me, I was doing what I had been taught was not only right, but my selfless moral duty. I thought I was evil for hating it. Since I believed that I was evil for such self-interest, I felt that I deserved all the pain I got in this world and eternal punishment in the next. I couldn't kill a man who was, under the creed taught me by the Fellowship of Order, morally superior to me by virtue of his need. How could I possibly harm someone who I had been taught to serve? How could I possibly object to the harm done to me when I so deserved all I got and more? What could I object to? Justice? That's the endless, miserable trap of teachings about your duty to the greater good. They strolled in silence as Nikki endured an array of ghastly memories.
What changed? Kara finally asked.
Richard, Nikki said softly.
Right then, she was glad for the darkness. Despite her tears, she lifted her head with pride.
The Imperial Order's teachings can only endure through brutality. Richard showed me that no one has a right to my life, not the whole of it, nor pieces of it. He showed me that my life is mine to live for myself, for my own purpose, and does not belong to others. Kara watched with a kind of knowing sympathy. I guess that you had a great deal in common with Mord Sith under the rule of Darkenrol. Dahara was once a place of darkness, as life is now under the Imperial Order. Richard didn't just kill Darkenrol. He ended that kind of sick doctrine for Dahara. He gave us the same thing he gave you. He gave us back our lives. I guess Lord Rol could understand us because he was treated much the same.
Nikki wasn't sure what Kara meant.
The same?
He was once a captive of a Mord Sith named Denna. At the time, it was our duty to torture Darkenrol's enemies to death. Denna was the best of the best. Darkenrol had personally selected her to capture Richard and be in charge of his training. Darkenrol had been hunting Richard for quite a while because he knew something important about the Boxes of Ordin. Darkenrol wanted that information. It was Denna's job to torture Richard into being eager to answer any question Darkenrol asked. Nikki glanced over and saw tears glistening in Kara's eyes as she slowed to a halt. She lifted her Ajeel, staring at it as she rolled it in her fingers. Nikki knew all about Denna and what she had done to Richard, but she decided that right then it might be best to remain silent and simply listen. Sometimes people needed to say things for themselves more than they needed to say them for others. Nikki thought that perhaps after coming so close to dying, this was one of those times for Kara.
I was there,
Kara said in a near whisper as she stared at her Ajeel.
He doesn't remember because Denna had tortured him until he was delirious and only partially conscious. But I saw him there at the People's Palace, and I saw some of what she did to him, of what we all did.
Nikki's breath paused. She cautiously glanced over at Kara.
Of what you all did? What do you mean?
It was standard practice for Mord Sith to pass their captives around. It made it more difficult for them to learn to endure any particular pattern of torture from one individual. It helped to keep them confused and afraid. Fear is an integral part of torture. That's something a Mord Sith learns from the first moment she is taken to be trained to become Mord Sith, that fear and the unknown makes any pain infinitely worse. Most of the time, Denna let a Mord Sith named Constance share in training Richard. But sometimes Denna wanted to use others besides Constance. Kara stood stock still as she stared at her Ajeel.
It was not long after he arrived at the People's Palace. Richard doesn't remember. I don't think he even knew his own name at the time because Denna had him in a fog of delirium, in a state of madness from the things she had done to him. But he spent a day with me.
This Nikki hadn't known. She stood frozen, afraid to say anything. She had no idea what she could say.
Denna took Richard as her mate, Kara said. I don't think she understood love any better than Jagang or Darkenrol. At the end, though, she came to have a deep and genuine love for Richard. I saw the change coming over her, as you described it. She came to value him as an individual. She came to have sincere passion for him. She loved him so much that in the end, she let him kill her so that he could escape.
But before then, when Denna was still torturing him, I saw him there more than once hanging helpless, covered in blood and begging for the release of death. A tear ran down Kara's cheek.
Dear spirits, I too made him beg for death as I stood over him.
Kara seemed to suddenly realize what she had just said aloud. Panic flooded her eyes.
Please don't say anything to him. It was so long ago, it's over, and everything has changed now. I don't want him to know about me there with him like that.
Tears ran down her face.
Please.
Nikki took up one of Kara's hands in both of hers.
Of course I wouldn't say anything about it. I, of all people, understand the way you feel? I, too, once did terrible things to him, only for a great deal longer than anyone else. As you say, that's over.
Nikki let out a deep sigh. I guess we all three know a little about what love is and what it isn't.
Kara nodded, not just her relief, but her sincere appreciation that Nikki understood.
We'd better catch up with Lord Rawl.
Nikki gestured casually toward the stables.
Richard is talking to the relatives of Victor's men who were killed. She tapped the side of her forehead. I can just barely hear him with my gift.
She reached out and gently wiped a tear from Kara's cheek. We have the time to gather our senses before we get there. As they started slowly walking toward the stable, Kara said, Nikki, could I tell you something, then something personal? On a night of such surprises, this was yet another.
Of course.
Well, Kara began as she frowned, trying to find the words. When Lord Rawl came to me to heal me, he was close to me.
What do you mean?
I mean, he was lying there with me, in the bed with me, with his arms around me, you know, protecting me and keeping me warm. She rubbed her arms, as if the memory had brought the chill back.
I was so cold.
Kara stole a quick glance over at Nikki.
I guess that in my condition and all, I was kind of holding on to him too.
Nikki lifted an eyebrow.
I see. And the thing is, I felt things when he came into me. And if you tell him this, I'll kill you. I swear I will.
Nikki smiled as she nodded her assurance.
We both care a great deal about him. I assume that what you're telling me is only because you are concerned for him.
That's right. She rubbed her arms again as she went on. When he came to pull me back, or whatever it is he did, it was like he was inside me, inside my head. I mean, it was a kind of intimacy unlike any other. Lord Rawl healed me once before when I was seriously hurt, but this was different. Parts were the same, some of the feelings were the same, the sincere caring and such that I felt from him. But this was different, somehow really different. That time he was healing my physical injury.
Kara leaned closer in an effort to try to get her point across. This time it was more. This time the touch of that evil thing was inside me. Like it was poisoning me, poisoning my existence, my will to live.
She straightened then, seemingly frustrated and unable to think of how to explain it better.
I know the difference you're trying to define, Nikki offered. This time it was a more personal connection between the two of you.
Kara nodded, as if relieved that Nikki seemed to understand.
Yes, that's right. It was more personal. A lot more personal.
She added under her breath.
It was like my soul was laid bare to him. It was kind of like... Well, never mind.
Kara went silent. Nikki wondered if the woman had said all she had really wanted to say and would decide to stop there, but then she went on.
This is the end of disc number 7. Please insert disc number 8.